Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Renee Deschard, chair of the program Open-Minded Congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structure, age, or abilities. We actually have several announcements, and there are more in the order of service as well for other events. Our shared offering is with the Allied Wellness Center, which is a neighborhood center with the purpose of promoting health and wellness of the mind, body, and spirit of people living in the Allied, Belmar, and Dunn's Marsh neighborhoods. Through a philosophy of care and respect, they encourage participation and leadership to build a strong community. Our Sunday service, this coming Sunday, on September 5th, is Labor in the Pulpits by Rebecca Meyer Rao. And this comes to us from the Worker Justice Wisconsin group, so hope to see you for next Sunday. Today, right after the service, we are going to have the world's shortest parish meeting, according to Rachel, so don't blame me if it's not, to vote on a bylaws change to remove the word called from section 10.2 so that we can have a committee on ministry when a minister is in place. We need 33 people, and we're real tight right now. So basically, none of you can leave after the service, and hopefully we have 33 people and we can. And if anyone sees someone who's not here and you want to quick give them a little text message and say, get over here at 11 o'clock so we can vote, do that too. If you ever have an announcement that you want to have the presider read, there are slips of paper at the back near the hymnal cart. So it's like in a little basket back there. So just anyone here ever wants an announcement. You can also give the presider like sticky notes, or if you've typed it up, that works too. But just so everyone knows. And then we're gonna send out a flower sign up soon to Prairie News Listserv so that we can have fresh flowers every Sunday morning somewhere up here. The person who brings them will also need to take them home. You could either bring them in your own vase and then take that in your vase, or we do have vases here if you want to use ours and then just take your flowers back again. So watch for that and you can have nice flowers. A couple more announcements. from Mary Mullen. There are free tomatoes outside the front, on the front patio. Oh, out on the front patio outside. So there's a bunch of tomatoes if anyone, the squirrels got all of our tomatoes. So some animal ate them all. Even they're green, they weren't even red yet. It was a little sad. There's a new painting in the common area. It's by Mary Summers, and it depicts Barb Park conducting the Raging Grannies. This is from Barbara Fry from Housing and Property, so you can check. And then the last announcement is, please consider joining the Committee on Ministry. Reverend Matt Aspen is eager to have this committee in place to give him feedback and support as he begins his ministry, but it needs one more member, and that could be you. The purpose of this committee is to work with the board, Reverend Matt Aspen, the congregation, and other committees to support and strengthen the Prairie community. Members of the committee will focus on the big picture of our mission and vision as a society. The feedback they provide to Reverend Matt will be of great help as he assesses how he can best serve Prairie. Two members of the committee have already been selected by the Prairie president and by Reverend Matt Aspen. The membership selects the third via a congregational vote. It is this third key member, the special person that we're looking for. If you are interested in serving Prairie in this way, please contact a member of the nominating committee and they will be happy to answer questions. And those people would be Kent Wagner, Rebecca Strom, Paula, oh my gosh, Pacharez, it's a tricky one, and Heidi Hughes. So you can contact any of them as well. Okay, so we got all of our announcements. The next up is the chalice lighting, which is drawn together by Jennifer Grayson, and it is read by Reverend Matt Aspen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am Reverend Matt Aspen. I am honored to be serving as your minister for this year. My preferred pronouns are he, him, his. And I'm also very grateful for a taller pulpit this week, so thank you very much, however that happened. Our chalice lighting words are drawn together by Jennifer Grayson. We come together every week, bound not by a creed, or a mutual desire to please one God, or many gods, or no gods. Yet we are drawn together by a belief that how we are in the world, who we are together, matters. We light this chalice together in the knowledge that love, not fear, can change this world. Good morning.
We have opening music. It is number 128 in the SLT, and it's For All That Is Our Life. So I'll give everyone a second. Please stand if you are able. And Amber, are you going to play it, just the intro? Play it once through? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amber. We have a reading. It's an excerpt from The Courage to Covenant by Reverend Kimberly Debus. We must have the courage to actually get close enough to know one another so that covenant means something, even if we covenant with people who don't look like us or act like us or love like us. We must have the courage to commit to one another, to trust one another, to be deeply connected to other souls, to consciously covenant in healing, helpful ways, to come again, come, that we've broken our vows 1,000 times. We may be wanderers, worshipers, and lovers of leaving, but instead we must courageously say, come yet again, come. As a caring community, we now take time to briefly share special joys, sorrows, or personal concerns with our Prairie friends. We also invite guests and visitors to introduce themselves during this time. Please raise your hand and a microphone will be brought to you. Also, for guests and visitors, there's a little visitor form in the back of some of the chair pockets, and we encourage you to fill that out, and you can hand it to our greeters. Deesa Pence is at the back, and Morris, I know, is somewhere. There he is, sitting there, but he also greets as well. So does anyone have any joys, concerns?
Patty and I had the joy of going up to Lake Superior in the middle of the week here, Wednesday and Thursday, to see and visit with and walk the shores of Lake Superior. Her grandson, Jacob, and her son were with us.
Well, the sorrow first. My daughter, Nora, has friends my age who are like an extra set of grandparents to her children, and the dad, Bruce, died on Wednesday very unexpectedly. So it's very sad, and it also reminds us to hold people close and say kind words and give them hugs, because tomorrow is promised to no one. So that's my sorrow. My joy is that I am in relatively frequent contact with Marcia Johnson. And so if you want any updates about Marcia, come and talk to me and I'll tell you how she's doing.
We light one final candle for any unspoken joys and concerns. We will now have a moment of silent meditation. Our presentation today is Lessons Yet to Learn by Reverend Matt Aspen. I'll let you introduce as you go.
You're beginning to get to know me. I think it's important that I share with you a bit about my current beliefs. I'm going to share a few stories today about my bicycle and use those stories as a series of metaphors to help explain my current thoughts about the Unitarian Universalist faith. It's my bicycle. As hard as this is for me to believe, I've had this bike for almost 30 years. To this point in my life, I've had the good fortune to be able-bodied, a condition that I know is temporary, and I try to remember to give thanks for every day. I always loved to bike as a child, and once I was starting to make enough money to live on, I saved up my pennies and spent a good bit of time looking for just the right mountain bike for me. I finally found the frame that fit like it fit me just right, and I purchased it in my early 20s. Mountain biking aligned very well with my needs and my life at that time, and over time, being a mountain biker became a part of my identity. The more time I spent in relationship with my bike, the more it began to just feel like an extension of who I was. Unitarian Universalism is sometimes referred to as a chosen faith. Many individuals find this faith later in life after an intentional search for a place where they can find comfort and meaning. Many who find this faith say, "I can't believe I've finally found my people. Being a part of this community just seems to fit." So for me, my bike, like this faith, are things that I chose for me that just seem to fit. So back to my bike. Like anything, one gets better with practice. I practiced on my bike a lot over the first few years we were together. I could ride over big logs, up and down almost any hill. I could fly down narrow, zigzagging mountain trails at exhilarating speed. I didn't have the words for it back then, but in hindsight, riding my bike in the woods became my spiritual practice. It was the consistency of riding over time which helped me develop the skills I would need to face greater challenges over time. Just as a faith community like this one requires commitment over time to help strengthen the hearts and minds of the folks that call this place their spiritual home. This bike has taken me all over the country. I have pictures of adventures with this bike on both coasts and now here in the Midwest. We have history together. Just like the memories that so many of you gathered here over the years in relationship with others over time in this community, it is the good times and the bad times that we've shared together that have created meaning for me in relationship with this bicycle. Now, I must admit, I stepped away from this relationship with my bike when I moved to Seattle. It's really hilly there. Really hilly. My life got busy, and I just didn't ride nearly as much as I used to. I missed my time on my bike, but other things seemed more important. Truth be told, I didn't devote nearly as much time to my bike for the decade and a half as I lived when I lived on the West Coast. This happens sometimes with faith, too. People get busy. They end up devoting more and more of their time to other endeavors. But then when I moved here, I found a spot near my new home with wonderful, nicely rolling trails across reclaimed prairie lands. It's true, they're prairie lands. I'm happy to say that I've re-engaged with my relationship with my bike, and it's been wonderful. Communing with nature with my bike has once again become a grounding spiritual practice, and for this I am truly grateful. My life feels better having recommitted to my relationship with my bike. My daughter. Now here's where I get to the two points I really want to make today. If you were here last week, you heard me talk about the reality of some challenges that we're facing in the world today, and why I think it's communities like this one that have the potential to strengthen us to weather those challenges. The other day, I was going down a hill that I hadn't been on before, and I realized pretty quickly that the trail I was on felt a little beyond what I was now capable of handling. It was too steep to just stop, and I was just feathering the brakes to try to gingerly navigate down this slippery, washed-out, rutted section of trail, and I was coming down a ridgeline, so either side was kind of like a big fall. I was pretty fearful because falling like that at my age is probably not a smart thing to do. Just then, out of nowhere, I heard a voice in my head that said loudly and clearly, "Speed is your friend." I immediately realized that this was a lesson that I had learned and had become deeply embedded long ago, back in the days when I was intentionally practicing to expand my abilities to experience greater and greater challenges. I took a deep breath, I let go of the brakes, I set my gaze further ahead down the trail as I had learned to do all those years ago. I placed my faith in the muscle memory that I had developed over the years of practice in my younger days, and my bike naturally just found the smoothest and safest lines, and I successfully navigated to the bottom of what for me was a challenge like I hadn't faced in many, many years. When I found myself in a situation that was beyond what I felt I was capable of in the moment of handling on my own, it was all of that time that I had spent developing a trusting relationship with this bike that ended up offering the guidance I needed when I felt overwhelmed. I found myself fearful. I was tense and tentative, trying to rationalize my way through life down that hill. What I needed was inner guidance and faith. And both of those things showed up when I needed them because of all the work I had done and all the work I had put into this relationship with this bike earlier in life. It was a wisdom that I would have thought was completely forgotten if it hadn't emerged so loudly from my subconscious at the exact moment I needed it. It is the work that is done in this community, together, that has the potential to offer us solace and guidance during times of crisis, if we are consistent with them during our calmer days. I can say this from personal experience. Maybe someday I'll tell you the story of when my UU faith came with a whisper that saved me on a really hard day I was having. I'll talk about that some other day. There is so much about this community that reminds me of my bike. Your frame just feels right, not just for me, but I think for many that come through your doors. I think many in this room feel as strongly about this community as I do about my bike. And I think some of you are worried that I'm going to come in here and somehow try to change your frame. Just as I can't imagine anyone offering me a different bike, even if it was a newer, shinier, whatever, no thank you. This is my bike. I just like your community, I like it just the way it is. Now, my old bike surely does require some ongoing maintenance. I have to keep the tires inflated. And if I don't keep the chain lubed, it sometimes doesn't like to change gears when it needs to. Little maintenance is always a good idea in any system. And there are parts of any church system that require ongoing maintenance. And I think that's one of the shared responsibilities that we all need to contribute to if this community is going to keep running smoothly and be there for us when we need it. From what I've seen, you've got some amazingly dedicated church mechanics here, and it's definitely one of your strengths. I told the search committee that I would spend the first year just observing, just noticing how things feel on the ride that we're taking together. I told them what I'm really hoping to do, if anything, is act as a mirror. I plan to look at what this community says about itself, and then pose questions for you to consider if what I reflect back to you doesn't seem to line up with what you say about yourselves. One final little bit about my 30-year-old bike. It's not exactly the same bike I originally bought. Several years after I bought it, I dropped off a 5-foot cliff intentionally, and I landed, but the weld at the bottom of the bottom bracket snapped when I landed. I was so mad. I couldn't believe my bike had let me down. I knew that the warranty had long since expired, and I didn't have the money to replace it. After a long walk back to my car, I was almost ready to be done with this bike. Nevertheless, I bought my cracked bicycle back to the bike store, and the shop owner said he'd see what he could do. To my surprise delight, the manufacturer determined that the weld that let go wasn't up to their stated specifications, and they gave me a brand new frame, no questions asked. The manufacturer had made a commitment to stand behind its product, and it was willing to consider that they may have actually contributed to the problem in some way. They were willing to be curious about their role in the breakdown. And because of that simple action, I ended up being able to continue deepening my relationship with this bicycle. Turned out the new frame was even stronger than the original. So how might my story of flying down that hill ended differently if that company hadn't stood by its commitment to me? I can very easily imagine that being at the end of my biking, that being the end of my biking career for the next 2 decades. I can then imagine myself moving here, remembering that I like to bike, buying a new bike, finding myself back in the situation on that trail that I described, and not having that depth of experience or trust in myself that I needed to navigate that section of trail, because I would have missed out on those years of practice. I had been able to continue on because my bike had been broken but repaired because of a kept promise. So how does that relate to this community? We like to describe Unitarian Universalism as a faith of covenant, not creed. We don't tell you what to believe. Instead, we make promises to each other about how we intend to work together to make the world a better place for both ourselves and for others. A covenantal faith such as ours requires a lot of work. The idea of having folks from all different backgrounds and ideas coming together to draw strength from and contribute to the ideals of shared community sounds great on paper. But when you have folks from all different backgrounds and ideas coming together, disagreements are inevitably going to arise. So here's my first offering as that mirror. One thing I've already seen, I saw it in your history that I read, I've seen it in several stories I've already heard, are many different examples in this community when disagreements arise, a strategy is employed, which I like to call, I'm taking my toys and going home. You know what I'm talking about. Instead of creating a safe space for disagreement and staying in conversation until some semblance of agreement can be reached, I've instead noticed a tendency in some instances for folks to just pull back. Welds break sometimes, but there does not seem to be a consistent guarantee that folks will stand behind the agreements that I think this place strives to uphold. Sometimes people just leave altogether. Sometimes folks just agree to disagree, but also completely eliminate all contact with the person or group that was the catalyst for the rift. Both of these strategies can reduce discomfort in the short term, but neither of them allows the ties of community to be strengthened over time. They leave either the individual or part of the community weakened, like an imperfection in the weld. These weak points don't show up on sunny days when you're all riding together down a smooth hill. They show up when you encounter a big bump on the trail, or when you find yourself lacking the skill you need to navigate a complex stretch because you've been cut off from the ability to keep practicing being in relationship over time. Perhaps you've seen this dynamic a time or two in this community. I wonder how this aligns with the intention you have in your bond of union. From the first sentence, we, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. And then later, we would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life, yet not at others' expense. As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky, let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world and with each other. Let us be one with one another. I want to be a part of a community that is committed to doing the hard work that it takes to stay in relationship when the going gets tough. I believe that more and more people in this world need to have access to the type of community that models what it takes to work through disagreements in safe ways that ensure all parties are treated with dignity and respect, and the conversation continues forward until resolution is found. Not until one person walks away, but until all sides of a discussion feel like their points have been respectfully heard, and a way forward emerges that everyone can at least agree to get behind, even if it isn't exactly everything everyone wanted in the conversation when they walked in. I know that this society has deep roots in the humanist movement, so I've been voraciously reading or rereading all that I can to make sure my messages remained aligned with what I sent so far as a strong, but not complete, set of viewpoints in this room. So as Andy Reese and Peter Candace wrote in their recent book, Religious Humanism, The Good Life Lived in Community, humanity can only be realized in the context of the community of other human beings. Early humanist ideas placed human flourishing as the highest ideal. What remains central and aligns with the reality of human striving, Reese and Candace also note that humanism is beginning to recognize that an overemphasis on the individual versus the community ends up severely limiting the individual's potential. I began my talk today saying that my intention was to share a story about my bike as a metaphor about my set of beliefs. I can't imagine navigating the ups and downs of my new prairie trails without my old bike. And my vision of a Unitarian Universalist faith community is one in which each of its members can't imagine navigating the ups and downs of life without the frame and practice provided and allowed by this community. I'm not planning to change anything here. All I've done today is point out something that I'm wondering about. And I'll just keep doing that and continuing to invite you to think about what I've shared. And over time, if you begin to develop trust in me and I begin to develop trust with you, if we find something I've reflected that you decide you want to do some work on, your community bike, I look forward to rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands greasy, doing the holy work of strengthening this beloved community. May we each continue to enjoy many more beautiful rides together.
Yes. Thank you. Does anyone have any thoughts, questions? You can raise your hand for a microphone and, we've got disco happening. Disco. Strobe lighting.
Cool. Yeah, and actually I was thinking that clearly we wrote that history book pretty well, because it did include some of those less than smooth patches. We did not sugarcoat it when we wrote the book.
That's
and
good.
They're there. And I think there have
been times when our frame has been, if not broken, surely cracked. But we've come through several of those times, and it says a lot about the community that we can do that. And I was also thinking about the spiritual practice, and yours is biking, mine is weeding. I think everybody has a different spiritual practice, and it's always interesting to know what those are.
Weeding is one of mine as well. That's good stuff.
Morris, for me, the crux was the phrase individualism versus community. It's just about everything that we've been seeing and doing, whether it's masking up, is an example of this almost forever problem. And I think that when we look at the individual, we don't want to lose the community, because within the community, the individual creates a continuity. I don't know for sure what I'm talking about, but I do know that everything I apply, the situation in Afghanistan, the homeless, the childcare, our relationship with COVID, which is going to be a long-term one, I think, is all individualism versus community. This is a wonderful community. We just have to bring more people into its thinking, I think.
I was impressed and struck by the fact that we have a relationship with you, an inanimate object. And I was thinking, I have that same thing with my car. I thank it every day for going from point A to point B, and I'm extending that thought to anything that one relates to that's inanimate. I mean, it has an equivalent to human people, you know. You have a relationship and you appreciate the ups and downs of what they offer you, and they offer to you, and you offer to them. and even in inanimate objects, when you pick up a knife, gosh, it's cutting that piece of bread for me. And to thank that object for that piece of activity with you makes it respectful, but it also increases the enjoyment of the operation that you do.
Gratitude is another amazing spiritual practice that strengthens us all.
Okay, if you just said something, I'm sorry I didn't hear it. So
I just said that gratitude is an amazing spiritual practice that is a way to strengthen us all.
So at the beginning of your talk, and you were saying things like this community, and I was sitting there thinking, that sounds like this community does this or does that, as if it is all of one mind. So then I was happy that later on you made reference to the fact that not everyone thinks the same and has difference of opinion, etc. So I was glad to see that you realized that. And that, because that is important. There are some commonalities, some things where you could say this community, this does this or does that or thinks this or thinks that. But there's also many, many other more individual thoughts. So I was glad you hit both of those.
One of the, if I can respond to that, one of the charges of the Committee on Ministry, which we're trying to put together that group to evaluate my ministry, the evaluation is how well I am supporting the mission of this community. And one of the things I quickly realized, I'm like, I'm not quite sure exactly if, you know, what the shared mission is. I mean, there's words, there's missions, there's vision statements, there's bond of union, but I'm really trying to make sure that I understand what is the collective vision of this place that ties you all together. What do you all agree upon is the reason that, so we talked about, somebody said, we want to grow this place. Well, to be able to know who to attract and who's going to want to contribute to this place, we have to be clear about what this place is about, right? So I think part of the important work is to just pause a minute and go to the people that for whom this place is important and try to see if we can find what those real commonalities are so that we can articulate it to folks when they come in. And I think there's a lot of work that's been done, but it's one of those tune-up things that I talked about. You always say, like, new people come, the world changes, you've got words that have held you together for 40 years. Those probably are it. But we just need to always be kind of coming back and just making sure that we all understand what those words mean and agree upon what those words mean so that we can, when people come, we can say, this is what this place is generally about. I think there are enough commonalities to try to find some common ways of talking.
So the part that spoke to me was, you know, when there are bumps in the road and how we stay respectful of one another when we have differences of opinion. And I think technology really hurts us in this respect. Is it still on? Technology really hurts us in this respect, because I think when people get, you know, you have that visceral reaction to something and you have that like gut punch of, maybe you're angry, usually it's angry, then it's really easy to quickly type something up into a public forum like a listserv and send it off to a whole bunch of people. And then from that, that does not help the situation, it just makes it worse. So something I like to think about is, before using technology, is would this be served better if I actually called up the person or people involved or even spoke to them in person? And I find that that's much more useful, because a lot of times when we get upset about things, we're not actually seeing the whole picture. We're thinking things, but we're not actually understanding the other person's intent. People have different, you know, lenses and how they perceive things. And so I think it's really useful to talk to people in person or over the phone if you can't with COVID and things like that, instead of just using technology as this like shortcut to vent frustration. I've had it happen many times, personally, professionally, and here in Prairie,
And it's very, very harmful when it happens. And I really want to encourage us to not use public forums to like vent anger and things, and to actually talk with the individual people and get clarification and like even, okay, I read this, can you talk to me more about it? How did you come to this decision? Or, you know, just get clarification. And I think in general, when you talk to people, you realize that you thought something different and you actually aren't that far apart as you originally thought. And I found that to be very useful to, I'll call it like repairing, I guess. So that's just something that I think we all need to keep in mind with technology now. And we see it, you know, across all kinds of social media, how much misinformation and how much problems we're having in our society globally with technology, right? Because people just can say whatever they want and it snowballs. And so, yeah, that's something that I just would really like all of us to work on, is to try and talk individually to people instead of venting things through technology. So.
Thank you, everyone. Always a good discussion.
Thank you so much.
On my happy note, I feel weird that I ended that discussion. I'm still here, so I'm all good, everyone. Yay! Huzzah! You can't get rid of me that easily. I'm pretty resilient. So we have our offering and our offertory music. It is fugue in D major, BWV 850 by Bach. So, well, Amber will play that through. Music. It is a song, number 131 in the SLT. It's called Love Will Guide Us, and Amber's going to play through it once first, and then please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Our closing words are "Fitted for This Day" by Kimberly Quinn Johnson. Note that the phrase "we are the ones we have been waiting for" are the words of June Jordan in Poem for South African Women, which she presented at the UN on August 9th in 1978. And Chris Porter is going to read the words. They're up here.
We are the ones we have been waiting for. We are not perfect, but we are perfectly fitted for this day. We are not without fault, but we can be honest to face our past as we chart a new future. We are the ones we have been waiting for. May we be bold and courageous to chart that new future. May we have faith in a future that is not known. We are the ones we have been waiting for.
So thank you for attending this morning. Normally I would tell you to stand and greet your neighbor. You can leave the hymnals on the chairs, and then you should congregate either here or outside, here because the ventilation's better. However, no one's allowed to leave. First of all, we are really close on the border. We might have to get, like, Karen is, there's some other adults that are volunteering in RE right now, probably two that are members. So I think what we probably need to do is have, like, members, because there might be some non-members here. So we have to figure out how many people we have as members to see. We need, is it 33? So raise, all right, everyone, if you are a member, if you can vote, please raise and keep your hand raised. We need to go through and count. Who, you want to count, Rachel?
We'll both count.
Okay, you're a member. Yes. I know that. And I don't think you count. So 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh man, that's difficult.
Is Marilyn number 2 right? I got 32.
Did you count me?
I did. Did you? How many did you get?
I got more than that.
You did?
Okay, sorry everyone.
How many did you get?
Can we say it's 33? If you got 33, I think
that was Rachel. She's good.
Is that a sign out or
yeah, but you have to do a sign up too, right? Yeah.
So that'll make it obvious.
That'll make it obvious, and then we could just also grab, like, Karen, one of us, like, I could vote and then go out, so, and then Karen could come in.
Yeah, I hit the count, but, you know, we'll see what we can do here. Yeah.